From March 20th, 2014, at the 92nd Street Y in New York, this is Remembering Marion, highlights from a celebration of the music and life of Marion McPartland. I'm John Weber. On this day, 96 years ago, Marion was born Margaret Marion Turner in Windsor, England. She was a piano prodigy who later loved to tell the story of how her father had offered her £1,000 sterling not to become a jazz musician. But she did, and right after World War II, she married an American GI and cornet player and moved to the United States. Beginning when she was 60 years old, every week for almost the rest of her life, Marion hosted piano jazz on hundreds of radio stations across the country. It became NPR's longest-running and most-listened-to music program. Now, with her family, her piano jazz family, fellow musicians and fans, it is my privilege to host this celebration of the artistry, creativity, compositions, mentoring, and the legacy of Marion McPartland. That's Eddie Gomez playing bass with me on Marion's theme, Kaleidoscope. Here's Marion's granddaughter, Donna Gordahl.
I'm here to greet you on behalf of Marion McPartland's family. I'm the family part of the program. There'll be others like me. But surprisingly, I would like to start out by thanking my grandfather, Jimmy McPartland, because he had... Oh, thank you. He had the brilliant idea of marrying Marriott Margaret Turner and bringing her back to the United States. Marion was my mother's best girlfriend, and then she became mine, but Marion lived to be 95, and she never grew old and never lost her spark or wit. I could go on and on about Marion, but I can kind of hear her saying now, let's play some music. So Marion has a very dear friend here tonight named Barbara Carroll, and she will be playing for you.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be here tonight. You know, I met Marion McPartland 65 years ago. And I'm thrilled to say that we were friends, and I admired her greatly all those 65 years. Hey, old friend, are you okay, old friend? What do you say, old friend? I want the what, when, and how. Old friends tend to become old habits. I never knew how much I missed you till now. New friends pour through the revolving door. Maybe there's one that's more, and in a pinch, sure they'll do. But us, old friend, what's to discuss, old friend? Here's to us, who's like us? Damn few. So, old friend, fill me in slow, old friend. Start with hello, old friend. I want the what, when, and how. Old friends tend to become old habits. I never knew how much I missed you till now. New friends pour through the revolving door. Maybe there's one that's more, and in a pinch, sure they'll do. But us, old friend, what's to discuss, old friend? Here's to us. Who's like us? Hey, old friend, are you okay, old friend? What do you say, old friend? Are we unique? Stephen Sondheim. It is my great honor and privilege to introduce a young man. I'm crazy about him. I love his playing. I love him. Bill Sciala.
Marion McPartland. She showed that a great jazz musician could come from anywhere. I'm so lucky to have known her. God bless Marion McPartland. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome George Mraz. We're going to play Marion's A Delicate Balance. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome the one and only Tony Bennett?
Thank you very much. Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Oh, but you're lovely with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft. There is nothing for me but to love you just the way you look tonight. With each word, your tenderness grows, tearing my fears apart. And that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Lovely. Never, never change. Keep that breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it? 'Cause I love you just the way you look tonight. Bill? With each word, your tenderness grows, tearing my fears apart. And that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Lovely. Never, never change. Keep that breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it? 'Cause I love you just the way you look tonight. Just the way you look tonight. Shalit.
The great Tony Bennett.
Marianne would have loved that moment and all the music we've heard and that's to come. Chris Brubeck, John Faddis, and Grace Kelly are waiting in the wings here at the 92nd Street Y in New York on this special edition of Piano Jazz, Remembering Marianne, a celebration of the music and life of Marianne McPartland, March 20th, 2014. I'm John Weber.
John Weber just told me backstage that now I can put on my resume that Tony Bennett opened for me at the 92nd Street Y. I'm Marilee Trost, and I am a friend of Marianne McPartland's. She was elegant, always stylishly dressed and coiffed, yet people sensed her approachability. And after listening to piano jazz for years, they felt she was her friend. And in a way, she was their friend. After a draining 2-hour concert, she would sit for an hour or more, autographing CDs, talking to each person, receiving their compliments, and sharing their stories, often about the Hickory House. She really was interested in people and their stories, but there was one thing that puzzled her. She'd say to me, "People are always telling me that they love me. What does that mean? How can they love me? They don't know me." And I'd tell her that I thought they meant that they loved her music, her unmistakable voice, the interesting interviews she did on piano jazz, and they loved the person they knew she was. With Marianne, what you saw was what she was, a charming, gracious, intelligent, strong, clever, opinionated, talented, caring woman. Marianne, we love you. Marianne and Dave Brubeck were great friends. Dave's son, Chris Brubeck, is here to present a very special song. Chris?
Thank you very much. The whole Brubeck family had a little admiration club for Marianne McPartland. She was a tremendous talent, a wise human being, a walking history of jazz, fearless, able to play with any of the fantastic guests she had. And at one point, well, 2 points actually, included my father, Dave Brubeck. The second time, the show was down in Washington, and my dad flew down there, and he was going through a kick where he was writing songs based on people's names. And he was on the airplane, obviously no piano, and he was going, "Marianne McPartland, Marianne McPartland." And then he got a little melody in his mind, "Marianne McPartland, Marianne McPartland." So he had this tune written down, and when they got into their interview down in Washington, she said, "Well, Dave, have you written anything lately?" He said, "Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I just wrote something." "Well, what's it called?" "Marianne McPartland." "Well, could you play it for me?" "I don't know, I've never tried before." So anyhow, she encouraged him to play it. It was the first time he played it. And of course, Marianne was such a fabulous musician that she just played it great right along with him. The second chorus, she understood all the chords and jumped right in. So that's the tune we're gonna play. And I'm so thrilled to have on stage with me Jimmy McPartland's grandson, Doug Castle, is going to play drums, and of course, the incomparable Bill Charlap on piano. Thank you.
Castle, Chris Brubeck. Chris Brubeck, Doug Castle.
Drummer Doug Castle is Marion McPartland's grandson, headed for the podium.
I'm honored to be here with all of you and all the wonderful musicians to pay tribute to Marion's amazing life and amazing career. I know she would have loved to have been here tonight, and I know that she's probably pretty ticked off that she's not, because she rarely ever missed a gig for any reason. And I once heard her say that she had injured her arm. When I called her, she acted as if nothing had happened. I finally asked her what was going on, and she said, "Oh, nothing. I just fractured my wrist. It's nothing." It never occurred to her to just stay home and take painkillers like the rest of us. But I was talking to Paul DeBarros, Marion's biographer, and looking for the big picture and trying to sum up the feelings of knowing Marion my whole life. And I said, I think she's one of the most interesting women of the 20th century. And I was a little taken aback by my own remark and how grandiose it sounded. I knew that if she heard me say that, she would go, "Oh, God." But I meant it. Marion lived a life that most of us, with the possible exception of some of the people backstage, all could only dream of. Starting at the age of 3, for approximately 75 of her 95 years, she played jazz professionally all around the world. She composed, she wrote about, she talked about, she interviewed and educated people of all ages. In fact, during a period in my life when I had actually stopped playing drums, she was not happy. And I got a rather stern note from her. And she said, "In all seriousness, you are wasting your life by not being a jazz musician." So true, that's true. I have the letter to prove it. But I looked at her life from where she started playing English music halls to becoming one of the most respected and beloved personalities in jazz. I realized that, along with a certain amount of luck, I saw a woman who was fearless and possessed a lot of guts. When she met my grandfather, they were both entertaining troops in Belgium at the end of World War II, and she had no idea who Jimmy McPartland was. But he and his music charmed her, and for some strange reason, she decided to marry him. I loved both of them dearly, and I always thought of them as kind of an odd couple. I sometimes thought of them as the Tracy and Hepburn of jazz. Think about it. My grandfather, however, was very supportive and encouraged her to find her own style. So she went off on her own as a band leader and was very successful at a time when women weren't really taken seriously as instrumentalists. So for over 30 years, she played everywhere, even the White House a few times. But just when she seems to have done it all, she said yes to hosting Piano Jazz. And that lasted over 3 decades on NPR. She initially thought it might only last a few months. I think the effect of Piano Jazz on introducing people to and popularizing jazz cannot be overestimated. With over 700 shows, if she had only been the host of Piano Jazz, she would have certainly been assured of some sort of immortality. But that was not enough for Marion. She would never admit to this publicly, but deep down, she harbored a lot of self-doubt. Amazingly, she worried that she wasn't good enough, that she hadn't accomplished enough, and was afraid that she wouldn't be remembered. She was one of the all-time jazz greats. Her music meant a lot to people all over the world and changed people's lives. And she will continue to inspire young musicians for a very, very long time. Thank you, Marion, for a life well led.
Doug Castle is Marion McPartland's grandson. We'll be back with more highlights from this celebration of her life and music. I'm John Weber. The two-piano format was the cornerstone of piano jazz, and here's a two-piano duet from Remembering Marion.
And now, with great pleasure, the great Kenny Barron and Helen Sung.
Thank you. Helen Sung and Kenny Barron on Up Jump Spring by Freddie Hubbard on the first day of spring and Marianne's birthday.
In a 1985 edition of Piano Jazz, Marianne improvised a musical portrait of her guest, Dizzy Gillespie. She liked that spontaneous moment so much that later she had me transcribe the music and she published it. Here to play it is Dizzy's protege and a friend of Marianne's, John Faddis, with me, John Weber, at the piano, for Dizzy.
John Faddis.
You're listening to a special Piano Jazz, Remembering Marianne.
Our next guest is a superb alto saxophonist, vocalist, composer, and lyricist. Please welcome Miss Grace Kelly. Our next bassist, one-third of the Marion McPartland Trio in 1954 and 55 at the Hickory House, which consisted of Joe Morello, Marion McPartland, and our guest, the great Bill Crow. And we're going to perform a composition of Marion's from 1957 called Stranger in a Dream.
Thank you.
saxophonist Grace Kelly joined bassist Bill Crow and me, John Weber, on Marion McPartland's Stranger in a Dream. Bill Crow was Marion's bassist at the Hickory House in New York City in the 1950s.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I wanted to say a little something about the great Marion McPartland. I remember the first time I was invited to be on Piano Jazz. I was 15 years old. I remember walking into the studio for the taping, and, you know, my palms were sweating, and I had knots in my stomach. And I met her, and I was just immediately put to ease. She was just so kind, and she had this way of making people feel so comfortable. And we had a great session. And after that, we started writing letters to each other. And there's a 75-year age difference between us. But even with that huge age gap, we became friends. And it's just something she didn't have to do, and it really just touched me because she cared so much. So thank you so much, Marion. Thank you for your music and your mentorship. It's such an honor to be here tonight.
Grace Kelly with words about her friendship with Marion McPartland. Marion McPartland won many honors. The National Endowment for the Arts named her an American Jazz Master. The John F. Kennedy Center celebrated her as a living legend. Queen Elizabeth appointed her an officer of the Order of the British Empire. For more about her life, come to pianojazz.npr.org. And for the full story, we recommend Shall We Play That One Together?, the biography by Paul DeBarros, and the documentary In Good Time, The Piano Jazz of Marion McPartland, from Films by Huey. Chris Armitage flew from England to New York for Remembering Marion.
Good evening. My name's Chris Armitage, and I'm Marion's nephew. Thank you. The majority of you will have known my late aunt as Marion McPartland, but to me, she was and always will be Maggie, Auntie Maggie. Time spent with Maggie was always rewarding, always entertaining, but above all, always filled with fun and laughter. I was and am so very honored to be able to call her my aunt. We miss her enormously. Her quintessentially English ways, the way she insisted on English tea with honey in a fine bone china cup and saucer. She was very proud of her English heritage, and we are so very proud of her. Maggie was very dear to me. Thank you for allowing me to share one or two memories of a wonderful aunt and an extraordinary lady. Good night.
I'm John Weber. Thank you for joining us, Remembering Marion.
Remembering Marion, a celebration of the music and life of Marion McPartland, was a co-presentation of SCETV and New York's 92nd Street Y, and was recorded live at 92nd Street Y. The producers are Sherry Hutchinson and Becca Pulliam. Recording engineers Duke Marcos and Andrew Shire. Mastering engineer David Mitchell. Production managers Kathy Bradbury and Grant Jackson. Additional production assistance from Laura Hunsberger. The executive producer is Kobe Hennessy. The executive in charge is Linda O'Brien. Special thanks to Anya Grundman, director and executive producer of NPR Music. This program is made possible in part by Elaine Freeman, Kay and Elliot Catarula, Zena and Tom Hampson, and the Friends of Piano Jazz. Additional support for this program comes from NPR and NPR member stations. Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age, and the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. This is NPR.